Hello, Girlistic viewers, and welcome to this week's podcast. My name is Megan McCray, and I will be speaking with Jack Tuckner, who has a New York law firm dedicated to the empowerment of women in the workplace. The firm represents women who've experienced all forms of workplace discrimination, and Mr. Tuckner will talk about a few of these violations, as well as tips on how to protect yourself or someone you know from becoming a victim. Hello, Mr. Tuckner. Thanks so much for joining us today.
You're quite welcome, Megan.
Now, I know your law firm is based out of New York. Do you take clients nationwide?
Well, we consult with clients nationwide infrequently because many of the laws are local. So it does make sense, especially if you're going to pursue and follow up on some particular grievance, that you try to find someone who understands the particular rules in your jurisdiction.
Right. Your firm also represents individuals who've dealt with any form of discrimination in the workplace, and one in particular is pregnancy discrimination. Can you explain what this means?
Only Women's Rights in the Workplace law firm in the country, as far as I know, handles discrimination claims of all kind, except that principally they are claims that affect women, such as Equal Pay Act, pregnancy discrimination, sexual harassment, glass ceiling phenomenon issues, mommy track concerns, and really there are sort of endless claims that that really all fall under the umbrella of gender discrimination. With respect to pregnancy, which is our number one cause of action in this office, women who at some point in their gestational period, either before they have a baby or after they come back from a maternity leave, find themselves with diminished terms and conditions of employment, or in some way something changes in the workplace that does not inure to their benefit, and it's all because they believe they chose to have a child.
Right. How common is this?
Well, it's quite common. And pregnancy discrimination claims are rising.
And are women actually being fired for getting pregnant?
Not a day goes by in this office based in New York City where we do not get a call from some person who indicates that they are either about to be fired or they have been fired directly related to the pregnancy, the time that they needed to take off because of the pregnancy, or time that they needed to seek medical assistance because of issues related to the pregnancy. So, yes, women do get fired regularly related to, their childbearing.
Right. How can women protect themselves from this form of discrimination?
Well, the one most important factor to remember is you need to put a complaint before you're fired in writing. And it needs to be sent to your employer, whether it's a tiny little employer or a 10,000 employee corporation. You need to send it to the human resource director or any of the powers that be in a provable fashion. In other words, you have to put on the record that you believe that you're being treated differently. That's what this is all about, discrimination, that the terms and the conditions or the benefits or the privileges of your employment are being degraded and you're being treated worse because you're pregnant, whether it's someone telling you that, you know, asking you whether you're going to have any more babies, or whether their people are just touching your stomach, or whether they're changing your shift, or whatever it is, if you allow that to go on without putting it on the record, they will find a way to criticize you and get you out before you're in a position to say that this was because of my pregnancy. So it's very important to know that you must complain formally, and that means in a writing, and I always say typically sent by overnight courier or certified mail, some way that you can prove that your company received this complaint.
And then also save a copy of that document, I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
Another major issue is equal pay. Currently, there are statistics saying that women are making about 75 cents to every man's dollar.
Right. Well, the statistics, I had asked an associate to just send me yesterday the latest statistics, and they waver in between 70 and 83%, depending upon the year or who's compiling them. But I think it's still clear at the end of the day that women across the board, from low-end positions to the highest professions, are earning less than comparably situated men.
Now, in your experience, why do you think this is happening? Is it happening with women who are afraid to ask for raises, or are they just blatantly discriminated against because they're of their gender?
Well, this is an extremely enormous question that implicates all kinds of answers that go back, you know, millennia. And there, I last year I spoke at a conference, and we spent hours discussing, you know, the many possibilities for, you know, the equal pay, the gender pay gap. So, I mean, a lot of it is, you know, certainly is part of our corporate, our patriarchal environment and the power and control continuum over women and their bodies, our reactionary judiciary and executive branch. I mean, there are a number of reasons, some, you know, some much more involved than others. But I do think that there's a certain amount of collusion. You asked whether women, you know, might bear some responsibility for it. To some extent, women are less apt to demand to be paid what they're worth. So I do think there are, you know, one can look at this from many different ways and angles and to, you know, wonder whether this will change in our lifetime. But in our culture, the great chefs are all male, yet the act of cooking is a function of the domestic sphere generally. So, you know, there are a whole range of possibilities of why, you know, women are just stuck in the sort of gender gap and do not, as a gender class, are not able to bust out of that. But I think, you know, we all bear some responsibility for that.
Definitely. I'm also wondering, is this discrimination happening more in smaller companies or than, say, like a top 100 company, because eyes are more on them than the smaller companies?
I actually think that it's probably found everywhere, at least empirically. I don't find, you know, that it's really any less so in a larger company versus a smaller company. I think that in places where there are, you know, unions and people are classes or ranks of people with particular job descriptions, it's more difficult to treat people differently on various bases, whether it is gender or race, color, or any other protected class, because you end up having a particular role, and the essential functions of your job will command a certain salary. So sometimes there's a uniformity in bigger companies that might make it easier for that not to happen. But we see it everywhere.
Right. I'd also like to talk about sexual harassment. Can you give the audience, like, explain the different forms of sexual harassment?
There were two categories. One was called hostile work environment sexual harassment, and one was called quid pro quo sexual harassment.
Right.
And the quid pro quo was more about the physical, in the sense that, you know, you were that certain propositions and unwelcome sex-based advances, and you are acceding to them would make your job would be contingent upon that. But for these days, it has basically morphed into, if you believe that the terms or the conditions or the benefits or the privileges of your employment are being degraded because you're a woman, and this is that you are contending with unwelcome sex-based energy from a male, and this is extremely broad, and that's why I think that women should intuitively know and do know whether or not something is consensual or whether they are experiencing harassment that is actionable. So it, you know, it's kind of like the definition of obscenity. The Supreme Court has said, you know, you'll know it when you see it, and it's hard to actually define it. But, you know, if one is experiencing, whether it's lewd comments, whether it is you know, jokes, whether it is pictures or even on the computer or screensavers, whatever it may be that makes you feel objectified,
and
I believe that that's actionable.
Right. And so let's say if it's happening to a girl my age who's just come into the workforce and has never experienced anything like this, it's kind of a, if you're surrounded by mostly males or you're kind of the lower dog in the company, it what do you do? Who's the first person you should contact? A lawyer? Should you?
No. It's probably the last person you should contact is a lawyer, frankly. And this is not about running to the EEOC or going into court, really. And again, you know, this is really a lot more art than science, because you also are going to have to consider whether it's something that you think that you can work out, and how important is this job to you, and how you don't want to escalate this above what needs to be done as a first threshold level. So the first thing, that you may do is, first, you should make it clear to the individual who you're experiencing from that it is unwelcome. That's the first thing one needs to do. And if that doesn't work, then I would recommend that one complain to human resources. Human resources in any, whether it's personnel, human resources, or the president of the company, but someone who has the authority to act upon this type of civil rights grievance. And that's what I mentioned before, whether it's because you're a girl, you're experiencing hostility in the workplace because of your sex, or whether it's because of your sexual orientation, at least in many states, not under federal law, or because of your age or religion or disability. They're all the same statutes, and they require you to complain, because once you complain, if they do not take prompt action to redress it, to fix it, to investigate it and look into it, in fact, if they make it worse for you, that is called retaliation under the law, and that is very powerful. So the idea is for, you know, a lot of employees have a lot more juice than they're aware of, and really all of this leverage and power, and that's what it's all about, empowerment. This empowerment comes from knowing what your rights are, and they're really fairly simple. It's your right not to be treated differently at work because of who you are based on some classification. In this case, we're talking about gender. And once you are experiencing that and are sure that that's what you're experiencing, you complain formally. And at that point, the company has to investigate it. And if they fix it, you have done everything you can to take care of yourself. And you'll say that, you know what, whether I'm a young person coming into the workforce or someone who's been there for 20 years, I have shown optimal regard for myself, and I am now working in a less hostile work environment. It's when they treat you worse, or you're fired, let's say, after you complain, that's when you've at least laid the foundation for having the case, quote-unquote, that you could call a lawyer about. At least you'll have something to hang your hat on.
Right. So let's say if a woman doesn't speak up right away, it takes a long time before filing a complaint, does that make her case less valid?
No.
I'd also like to know, do you have any other tips or advice for women on what to be aware of? What are some important rights that maybe women don't usually know about?
The first thing that comes to mind is, no matter how bad you're experiencing your workplace to be, don't quit. Quitting, and when you quit, it's really like throwing out the baby with the bathwater, as they say. You're giving up all of your rights. In effect, you won't even be able to get, in most states, unemployment because you have voluntarily abandoned your position. So it's very important to understand that if the impulse is, you know, I just have to get out of here, why should you throw yourself on your sword? Why should you turn this in on yourself? And so it's important to know that no matter how bad it gets, and even if you think, well, if I complain, they're not going to take it seriously, because the human resource director, for instance, is the best friend of the perpetrator. None of that matters. All that matters is that you're complaining in a formal way that you could prove that you've complained later on, and they must take action. That's the whole price of admission here. That levels the playing field from their powerful place and your perception that you have no power. That changes the entire dynamic. So the only rights we have are the ones I mentioned earlier, because unless you have a contract or a union that provides specific rights, in this country, most of us are at-will employees, and it means that we could be fired at any time for any reason or for no reason at all. On Christmas Eve, you could be fired after you've worked for 30 years for the company, and they could say, hey, it's been a natural high, hit the bricks, babe. And you know what? There's nothing illegal about that, unless you can show, demonstrate, prove that the reason this happened is because of some immutable characteristic about you, something about you that you can't change, that happens to be protected by either the United States laws, or your state's laws or your city's laws. And, of course, sex, gender, is in all of the laws. And so when we're talking about what happens to young women, middle-aged women, older women, women, in my view, take the brunt of many of our, you know, animus at work. Women tend to be the first ones to be let go. Women tend to continually experience disparate treatment. And I think that one should step up and fight for one's right to be treated equally at work. And that does require walking your talk and making sure that you can, you know, memorialize it and document it and show that the company now has to deal with it.
I definitely agree. I know that if the audience wants to get more information on their rights, your website has so much information on each of these violations, and you can go to www.womensrightsny.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr.
You're quite
Taylor.
Welcome.
Have
Thank
a great
you,
day.
Megan.